All right, so we're back in Build 2015. Lightbulb let me back in. I hope that was a good idea. I'm with Brent Rector and Peter Tor of the Windows team. You learned today about the Universal Windows platform. And so we wanted to talk today with a couple of the program managers who are sort of leading the design effort there for that API set, to talk about the API set and what it actually means. And so the first question I would ask is essentially, how did you arrive at a universal Windows API set? Like, how did it work? Take us through that.
You want to start?
I'll start.
Okay.
So what we did was, we had Windows 8 and Windows 8.1. They had a set of APIs available to them, and we had Windows Phone 8.1 had a set of APIs available to them. We had Xbox had a set of APIs available to them. And what we wanted to do was basically bring the best of all these things together and then expand on it so that we could add more capabilities to the Universal Windows platform. And so Brent will tell us a little bit about what percentage of functionality we got inside the Universal Windows platform, mm-hmm. but we started with these three diverse platforms, brought them together into one, and then we listened to a lot of customer feedback about things that were missing in the Universal Windows platform. So there's many examples. One I'll say is, for example, threads. In Windows 8 and 8.1, in Windows Phone 8 and 8.1, there was a WinRT thread pool, but we didn't let you use the traditional Win32 APIs like create thread, suspend thread, et cetera. We got a lot of customer feedback about that, and we said, okay, let's fix that. So Universal Windows platform in Windows 10 now includes a lot more APIs like threading. I can talk about more later if we want to. But based on real customer feedback and real apps that we had people building on Windows, we've actually expanded that. So it wasn't just what was in the existing platform's lowest common denominator, like this tiny little lump of functionality.
Yeah.
It was take what's in these three disparate platforms, bring the bulk of it together, and then expand it all out based on customer feedback.
Awesome.
And one thing that I wanted to highlight is the default policy going forward is new APIs are part of the universal platform. So we're trying not to fragment the API and say, oh, this is an Xbox API, so it only ends up on the Xbox device.
Okay.
Or here's a phone API. The default policy is we put the API everywhere. Now there's some subtleties there, like for example, making up a scanner. Mm-hmm. I probably will never have a scanner on an Xbox. Just doesn't make a lot of sense. The API is there, mm-hmm. because so if I write an app that wants to use a scanner, it'll call the natural API and say, give me the list of scanners on this device, mm-hmm. and the API is there and works. On Xbox, it'll say, well, there are none here. Just like on desktop if you didn't have any plugged in.
Okay.
So developers are not going to have to the extent I can help it, mm-hmm. Have to write different code for different devices, which they had to do traditionally.
Understood.
The universal Windows platform is really, to the extent we can humanly make it so universal.
Excellent.
And I think just building on what Brent said, in the past, again, with Windows and Windows Phone and Xbox, you could have a similar source code base, but you'd end up with ifdefs. Yeah. Ifdef phone,
yes.
Do this, ifdef Windows do that. In the new world, even where there are cases where maybe there is an API for legacy reasons only, actually exists on Xbox, mm-hmm. you don't need ifdefs anymore. You can actually do all these things at runtime. So at runtime, and this is what Brent will be talking about on Friday,
Friday.
Mm-hmm. At runtime, you can detect, should I call the scanner API? Should I call the Windows hardware back button API? Should I call this API? No more ifdefs, it's a single code base, truly a single code base.
So before we get to your question, well, actually, Al, thank you, man. Al is a longtime Niner, he's been asking questions for years. How does Universal Apps work on IoT, right? Surely they don't require it to do via the store.
Right.
So how does Universal Apps on IoT work? Surely they don't require you to download them from the store. Al, what are you asking, man?
Well,
so let's answer the first question.
So the IoT platform is part of the Universal Windows platform. So you can write Universal Windows apps that run on IoT, mm-hmm. and IoT apps that you write can be Universal Windows apps that will work on phone, Xbox, HoloLens, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
The distribution of apps on IoT can be different. I'm not an expert on that.
Okay.
So I can't answer the store part of it. But yes, they are Universal Windows apps. They have the same APIs that every other Universal Windows app has. It's just a Windows app.
Okay.
And the only thing I would add is, there are differences between devices for UI. So you want to think about that. When we talk about universal app, you can write one code base, compile it, deploy it to all these devices. Same APIs for all practical purposes are available everywhere.
Okay.
But if you're projecting to a 10-foot screen or on a HoloLens or on a fitness band or some future device, you probably want to have different UI. But you can either, there's something called adaptive or responsive UI, and the XAML team has a presentation today,
I think, multiple.
About that. And that's not actually my area of expertise. Mm-hmm. Mine is more the actual APIs itself. So if I were writing an app for an IoT, I have the choice. It'll run on everywhere. Do I want the same UI everywhere? Probably not.
Definitely not.
So you'd customize a UI for IoT. You'd probably have a customized UI for a desktop or a laptop or a tablet. But that can all be in one app. It can be one binary that you deploy.
Sure.
So Ankur wants to know, now that .NET Core is ported to Linux and Mac OS X, which is an excellent undertaking in its own right, do you see universal apps running on Android and iOS someday? Universal apps. So taking the, taking our WinRT, if you will, and moving it on to different platforms.
So we haven't discussed, announced anything like that.
How did that question get past security? Great question. So Ankush also wants to know, does this universal philosophy apply to Windows Server as well?
It does. There's the deploying apps to the server. I mean, most servers may not want to deploy apps from the store. So ignoring the deployment aspect, sure, because you can always sideload or install them yourself. Mm-hmm. The WinRT and the Win32 subset, the APIs are all there present on the server SKU. We actually have a model, and this is more of an internal detail, but it may be interesting, a one core platform. It's the universal operating system, if you will. I just made up a term marketing has not approved. But the one core platform is common to all the devices, including server, including client, including Xbox, including phone.
Sure.
So the majority, to the extent that we make an API universal, which is, like I said, the default we want to do, we put it in one core, and then it becomes available on all platforms, including server.
Awesome. But of course, servers have a sort of a different workload than clients. So you're not going to necessarily need to have, we had Jeffrey Snow over here earlier talking about Nano. Nano, of course, being a really small footprint server.
Right.
Obviously, you don't have any of the UI stack or any of that kind of stuff at all.
Right.
Lokesh wants to know, does Windows 10 Universal Apps provide PDF API support on phone devices?
I believe they do. We had them in Windows 8.1, and I believe they've been made universal.
Know off the top of my head without looking,
I'm very sure. I can't tell you with 100% accuracy, but I'm very sure that, yes, they became universal now.
Great. Iris wants to know, will there still be differences such as those in the Bluetooth API? That's actually a great question. I've had a number of problems with the Bluetooth API myself. If not, can we expect a new SDK for MS Band soon? Awesome work.
Okay, so there's an interesting thing here where in Windows 8.1 and Windows Phone 8.1, we had a large degree of commonality amongst our WinRT service area, right? You know, we had XAML the same, we had a lot of the devices the same, we had the app model the same, we had all these APIs that were the same. But the underlying implementation were actually quite different, right? So it's weird, the kernel was the same, and the APIs on the top were the same, but the stuff in the middle was not necessarily the same. And so you had these differences in whether it's in the Bluetooth stack, or whether it's in audio, or whether it's in something else, where looked the same but worked differently. As Brent was saying, with this move to one, can we say one core? One core.
I already said, so yeah, we can.
This thing in the core, now it's the same code everywhere. So yes, you should see all those differences between phone and Windows and Xbox going away.
Great. I mean, and fundamentally, these are the types of things Universal Windows Platform was envisioned to solve. So right. I wouldn't have to go, oh, I can't do this Bluetooth operation on the phone, but I can on a tablet. Right.
We wanted to unify those to make it a common behavior and a common programming surface.
Excellent.
So to the extent humanly possible, I think we did a really good job of getting there.
And we'll tell. I mean, people are going to start using it and you'll get feedback. Any tools that'll help converting current Windows Phone and Windows Store apps into Universal?
Sadly, the answer is no there. I expect the community and potentially even Microsoft's as well to do that. But today, if you have a Windows 8.1 app, the migration is pretty much a manual process with the current Visual Studio tools that we just released. It's actually quite straightforward, having done it probably 25 times in the last 2 weeks. But maybe it's only straightforward after the 25th time. But really, we can write man pages or docs on that, and it's really pretty straightforward.
The tricky one would be if you had a Silverlight app. Moving Silverlight,
Silverlight
to Universal.
Alert. Okay.
Is that another term I can't use?
No.
Moving a Silverlight phone app to Universal will be more challenging because, of course, the XAML is slightly different. It's not Silverlight XAML, it's Windows XAML. The set of APIs available are a different subset. But from what used to be called a Universal app last year, whether it's a Windows or a phone version, should be much closer to... So it's a manual upgrade, file new project.
Yeah.
We just drag in all of your files and
they
should work.
Because, I mean, in that model, you had a shared core, if you will. And then you had two heads.
Yeah.
One for phone, right. One for PC.
And you can actually do that, then add a Universal head that then references the other stuff and then drag stuff down over time and
just
make it
say
better.
No to do them doing that, though. Now, use the new Windows 10 Universal apps. You have one head. It's just a Universal app.
Got it.
It's a much simpler programming
model. And one
model.
XAML.
Yes.
Right? Right. Which is what you were alluding to.
Yes.
Right, there's like five or six versions of our past. We won't go there. So congratulations on one XAML. Right, one everything. Just
yes.
Like DX used to be, or Active. Remember the Active days?
Yes.
Right? We'll just go one everything. Will Universal apps written in C# be able to take advantage of .NET Native to compile the native code so I can get a performance boost?
Yes.
And it's not just take advantage of, but they're all going to be .NET Native.
Basically, when you build a managed app, a managed Universal app, it will compile the IL to native code.
Great.
For all platforms.
So MDIL, and then get linked on an install time on the phone, right?
That's an implementation detail. May happen up in the store.
Great.
And get linked as well. But the net result is you compile C#, you'll get native ASM, ARM code, Win32x86,
whatever
the target is.
Nice. And that's all taken care of by the store. How will Windows devs be able to publish apps on the Xbox Store? Do they have to get through ID at Xbox or something similar?
I do not know.
That's
the
not related
to
the Windows software. We'll ask that to the. It's a great question. We'll ask the people who know.
Yeah, I can't answer that. I don't know the answer.
So, does a universal platform mean that there is a security risk if there's a bug within the Windows universal base? Wow, I'm surprised it's taken so long for this question to be asked. Nice job, Thomas.
I mean,
it's an interesting question, right? The vector is now much larger if you have the same code running everywhere.
I would remain silent on this issue.
Well, I'm not going to because I'm that way. I mean, it's the same on any kernel. If there's a bug in a kernel and the kernel's being used on multiple devices, then you have that risk everywhere. But it's also much simpler to fix because you fix it once and you fix it everywhere too. So I don't think that's unique to the universal platform at all.
Definitely not unique. But it's a worthy question. Is a DirectX 12 API supported on the Universal Windows Phone platform or in Windows Phone 10?
Did DirectX 12 make it in?
I don't know about that. DirectX certainly is there.
I know that is.
But I don't know if the hardware on phone can do the 12 features. We're not the graphics guys, unfortunately.
Understood. So what is the smallest screen size requirement for UAP UI development? UWP.
Yes.
Well,
UI
if you
development.
Count IoT pretty darn small.
Zero.
Yeah. So it ranges. There's no, I think we have guidance for smaller than this. Here's how your UI should look and feel and probably interact. What's the interaction model with touch? Bigger screens like TVs, there's a different model. But universal, technically you don't need any screen at all to be a universal app.
Totally.
But yeah, we published minimum screen sizes for at least what we call phone devices, and on Windows desktop apps where you can resize windows, you can actually set preferences now, so you can say, I prefer to be this size, and if we can give that to you, we'll give you that size. So sizing has actually got a lot richer in Windows 10, but yeah, there's really no minimum because there could be no screen at all.
Excellent. So I said Silverlight, so talking about Silverlight for Windows Phone, are there universal VoIP APIs available in Windows 10?
That one I'm not sure about. Next question.
Yeah, yeah. I just don't know the end without looking again.
Yeah,
there are about 12,000 APIs just in the WinRT universal surface area.
It's amazing, which is something that I really wanted to talk about at some point, was how you kind of wrapped your heads around making the decisions that this API makes it, this API doesn't make it. Obviously, if partners are using an API and an app or Skype team, for example,
sure. Yeah,
it would kind of make sense to move that across. But there's so many APIs that, you know, the one API, is that a code name too? I'm just kidding.
No,
the moral of the story is, you know, how you kind of came across as a group of API designers to develop a really, really large API set. Ensure that you nailed it.
We have the business constraint. We had so much time. And so the more apps that you want to use an API or want to use the functionality, we prioritize that, like any developer team would. And if they were there on the phone and on Windows on desktop before, we said, are they identical? Mm-hmm. That's a no-brainer. Then let's put that in universal. The harder ones were, they were different. And I could go into lots of details on some of the ways they were different and unpleasant to discover manner. And we had to unify those, which was a harder problem. But it was really driven about how many developers would use this? How rich is the feature? Is it a niche feature that three of my friends would use, but nobody else in the world would? Then I would get outvoted just because of my friends. They didn't get the rank. But.
And in terms of the older Windows platform, so the Win32 and the .NET side of things, we partnered a lot with the .NET team who are working on, you know, a lot of .NET stuff. You mentioned earlier the open sourcing and working on different platforms.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of core .NET APIs that we want to have available on Windows Universal. Again, in Windows 8 and 8.1, the .NET surface area was relatively small because one of the kind of principles was minimize duplication, right? There shouldn't be two ways to do things, there should be one.
Yes.
We've kind of rolled that back a bit and we said, hey, two, three ways are great if it helps people leverage their existing code. So we worked a lot with the .NET team to bring back the most common .NET APIs. So file system, for example, is one that people really wanted. They didn't like the WinRT asynchronous file system code. They didn't want to rewrite their existing apps. Mm-hmm. They wanted to use their existing .NET system.io code. Well, great, you can do that now. So we did a good partnership with .NET on that. For the Win32 side of things, there was basically two buckets of feedback that came into the Win32 side of things. We would hear from partners, a lot of game developers, for example, and some enterprise customers about what APIs were missing that they really wanted. So I mentioned CreateThread before. The notion of virtual alloc, so we had to create memory that is executable at runtime, that is now back. You can now do JIT in the store right now, which is pretty good. There is WinSock is back. There's a bunch of other functionalities come back from people that told us we want to come to Windows, but you blocked us. We've unblocked those people now. And we also had a lot of things in Windows 8 and 8.1 where, again, because of the duplication thing, we kind of said, well, if there's a Unicode version of an API, why do we need the ANSI one? But again, that affected a lot of customers, so we said, well, let's bring back the ANSI APIs where it makes sense. Mm-hmm. Let's bring back the non-EX versions of APIs where that makes sense.
Yeah.
And really, as Brent said, if it was already like on the disk and it's not wasting disk space, mm-hmm. and it doesn't have a security implication or it doesn't have an issue with our business model for the store, et cetera, mm-hmm. then let's just bring it back in.
Awesome, man. Really amazing undertaking. Great, thanks for asking your questions. Keep on asking them. Are there any APIs on Windows Universal Platform for integration of Office 365? Christoph Hoffman.
I would imagine they're all REST-based, and there's a bunch of talks here this week about
it.
Yep, yeah, cool. I don't know of any specifically.
So Karl-Heinz Rang wants to know, Universal apps only in C# and VB.NET. What about C++?
Oh, C++ fully supported for universal apps, and so is JavaScript too.
Yeah, exactly. Just like in the old model, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and so I'd also, well, I saw Kenny Kerr wandering around earlier, so I'm a big fan of modern CPP. All right. So Todd wants to know, which mapping API is the new universal mapping standardizing on? Will it support everything Bing Maps API supported?
Well, there is a talk about mapping here at Build as well. And that's interesting because, yeah, there's the API layer, then there's the service underpinning it. And on phone, we had the Nokia Here Maps engine.
Sure.
On Windows, we had Bing. I actually don't know where they've kind of mingled, how that worked out. But there is a common API that's universal. Exactly Whose engine it is, I actually don't know.
Cool.
How much universal apps we already, so C++ is fully supported on the Windows platform.
Yep.
Right.
Yes, you have to use CX.
No, that, you don't. You can use WRL.
It's a lot harder.
Like I said, you can use C++ CX.
Or modern.
Or modern. I highly recommend modern, although he hasn't shipped that yet. And I only mention that because I had to do that recently, and I would have preferred to have this done standard C++. Does the new API add new profiles to the portable class libraries?
Ooh. Do not know that.
Yeah, that's a .NET question, sorry.
No problem. So these guys are the Universal Windows API program managers, designers, may I call you that?
Sure.
You were involved in that process? You,
I did make some decisions. He overruled some of them.
Did he? let's see. How would someone go about building tools for creation of universal apps, i.e. game engines?
Well, that would be relatively easy, I think. You can pick your language, manage code, C++. You write to the universal API set, and now you have a library that any universal API app can. It's just like you wouldn't, as long as your shared library only uses APIs common to all platforms. And right now we've got this universal API set, which is common to all platforms.
Got it.
So you write a library to that. Now your app can be used by, or your library can be used by any universal app. It's a lot easier now, actually.
Totally. And you mentioned the you know, how shall I say, you know, the resuscitation of virtual alloc.
Yes.
So you can write JITs and maybe even a garbage collector.
Yes. So the other one I wanted to mention, because we talked about games, another thing that was out of Windows 8 and 8.1 and phone was thread affinity, hard thread affinity, used a lot by games. There is, in Windows 10, there'll be a way not to do exactly the same hard affinity, because it's very hard for us to do that on a device like a phone, because it will overheat, so it doesn't have a fan. But there will be a way to do the notion of this workload goes here, this workload goes here, they want to be separate, they want to share a cache, all that kind of stuff. And on devices where we can honor that, like a PC with a fan, we'll honor that. On a device like a phone or a tablet that doesn't have a fan and might overheat, we might move workloads around a little bit.
Okay.
But affinity is another big one that came back for games. Jitting, sockets, virtual alloc, threads.
Dude, amazing. Thank you for doing that. So, is there a way for UAPs to launch an external EXE, like for a game launcher or like through a managed broker?
So you can't launch EXEs directly, but you can use the launch URI async APIs. You can launch file extensions, and you can launch registered schemes, like, you know, foobar, colon, blah, blah, blah. But you can't say create process or shell exec.
Sure, because you might be running on a device that doesn't support that.
You can get the effect of it, even though the actual mechanics are slightly different.
Yeah. Okay. So UWP, does size matter when we build? Do we need to choose and select while developing? So I want to have, I'm going to run a universal Windows platform app. I'm going to run on a pen, and I'm going to run on a giant thing like that. So I'm, you know, code size becomes an issue for me, binary size.
Right.
So yes, I mean, you still have to be an engineer with UWP.
Sure. You're not going to be able to run on a 1 gigabyte device if your app takes 10 gig. Just physics still apply. We worked on that, but we were not successful.
We do have resource packs, though, and even Windows 8.1 supported this, where you could have, for example, your core code, which goes everywhere, and then you can have, let's say it's a game, you have some assets, you have some low-res assets, you have some high-res assets, and the store will pull down the right one depending on the device that you're on. And so you won't bloat your pen with a tiny screen and, you know, well, the band, for example, not that I'm announcing anything about the band, but, you know, if you had a very small, low-res screen, you wouldn't bring down the assets for, like, a 4K TV and put it on that.
Excellent. Right. I mean, that's one of the benefits of a smart sort of core store.
Yes.
Right.
One store. Bitbender, will sideloading get easier and more liberal for Windows 10 universal Windows apps? Restrictions when sideloading is allowed currently is a huge reason for custom projects to not even consider UAP.
So there is a talk here, Barclay Hill is giving a talk, I think it's on Thursday, about deployment. I would go speak to him, because I don't know what we can say.
Fair enough, great answer.
But we feel the pain. I personally hate that dialogue that pops up every few months and says, your license is expired.
Yes.
I hate that with a passion.
Yep.
So that feedback is noted.
Yes. So
universal apps for F Sharp? I mean, why not? It's basically
I don't know
on top
anything specific, but, and I shouldn't even say this.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
No. I want you to.
I don't know anything specific.
We don't know. So. I mean, I don't see why not, but I guess I can understand why not. All right. So how about WPF? Is the gap between WPF and universal apps, or not really, WPF is a desktop technology only. We're going to wrap it up. Thank you guys for coming. I mean, we sort of were able to talk mainly about the API design experience. You guys should come back to Channel 9 again.
Absolutely.
Go a little bit deeper into that whole process. And thank you for your wonderful questions.